When I spoke to the young people before, I started with a question. I'll start with a question with you now. What's the Bible about? What is it that makes the Bible special? There are many people, Bible societies, Gideon's International, who spend a lot of time and a lot of money distributing this ancient book. We take it for granted in our churches. We've got it. We've got it in innumerable versions. What is it, though, that makes it special? That people are prepared to do all this. It's special because it proclaims God's plan of salvation. It is the only place you will find it. It is God's word. It is a unique book written over a period of 2,000 years by many men and yet one author with one theme, the Holy Spirit. It shows man's relationship to God and it shows God's plan of redemption. Despite its age, it is still extremely powerful. It still, by reading it, men and women are changed. The Holy Spirit uses it. There are many testimonies around of people sitting alone in a hotel room or in a prison cell, reading it and being convicted of their sin and being saved. It is an amazing book. The church has always been at its most effective when the Bible is at the center of its teaching. Men like Wesley and Whitfield, who went throughout this country and the new colonies in what is now America, and they preached to thousands upon thousands of people standing for hours in the open air. They based all that they said on the word of God, on the Bible. It's powerful. As I said, it transforms people. And it transformed the whole of this nation at one occasion. It changed the very course of history. I refer, of course, to the Reformation. It's always a popular subject in this day and age. It wasn't just a time of political intrigue. It wasn't just a time of Henry getting the divorce he wanted. They were side issues when you look at it from the perspective of history. What was happening, God was restoring his word to its rightful place in this land. And it had a tremendous effect. Doctrines had been corrupted. Superstition had replaced God's word. The Bible was available, but in a language that nobody could read except the clergy and the very educated. What was the point of it? There was a great spiritual darkness over the whole land. But God raised up men like Wycliffe and Tyndale, to translate the Bible into English, into a language which the common people could read for themselves. William Tyndale, basically a local man, just across the Severn, he was brought up, Little Sodbury. And he vowed to translate the whole of Scripture into a language that people could read. And there was terrific opposition to it. It was so fierce he had to flee to the continent, where in apparent safety he was able to complete the translation, and the Bibles started to be printed and smuggled into Britain. He was betrayed in the end and he was executed. But Bibles continued to be smuggled into this country. Just think of it, having to smuggle a Bible into Britain. Most of us remember times when people had to smuggle Bibles into Russia and into China And there were great stories of the doings of these people and the privations they went through in order to get Bibles. Well, that was not so in this country. The penalty, if you were caught bringing one of these Tyndale Bibles into the country, was death. There was no other alternative. And many people were caught and many put to death. But such was the demand for God's word. Many were prepared to take that risk, even though many paid with their lives. Never underestimate the work of the Reformation. It was God at work in this land of ours. Now, well, there's no physical persecution here. It's more subtle. People do oppose the gospel. People do oppose the Bible. And they try to stop it quietly, gently. The Gideons always try to have Bibles in every hotel room. And that has become quite a thing. It's become a tradition almost. But of late, some hotel chains have refused to have them for a number of reasons. And that's sad, because the testimony of hotel Bibles is amazing. The number of people who have gone into a hotel with the determination to kill themselves. And on the last minute, they've seen this book lying there and somehow feel compelled to open it and to read it and have come back out of the hotel. Lives changed. And yet hotels are starting to say no. There is an appeal out, I might as well tell you about it. We Gideons would like you, if you stay in a hotel and there is no Bible there, to ring up reception and ask for one. There's nothing a hotel manager dislikes more than a hotel guest who's unhappy. So ask for one. If there is one, when you check out, say thank you for that Bible. It's a small thing to do, but it helps. Somebody stayed recently in Billy Butlin's and there was no Bible. They asked and were told, we don't have them. So they notified headquarters of Gideon's, who wrote to the chief of Butlin's. And after a few months, and apparently several meetings among management, a letter went to headquarters of Gideon's and said, we would like a Bible in every chalet. Could you provide 5,000? That was from one request from one person. It works. If you find the hotel room without one, ask for one, please. People also deface the Bible. They seem to think it's good to make silly comments, blasphemous comments sometimes. And then, no persecution, but there's apathy. And apathy in this land saps at people. It just saps the strength and the will. There is an apathy to the word of God. In other countries, there's still a tremendous demand for it. Millions of Bibles are flooding into China now. The Chinese governments are officially opposed to it, but are turning a blind eye to certain conditions and Bibles are going in. And of course, Russia is absorbing Bibles at a phenomenal rate. In many countries, people can't get their hands on them fast enough. Colombia is an example in South America. A team went out there last year, fortnight, to give out, they thought, about 500,000 Bibles. When they totaled up at the end of the time, they'd given out 1.25 million. People were queuing up on the pavements to take their copy. Why is all this happening? Well, Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It shows a way through the darkness of the world. A couple of years back, we met a Christian from Russia, who was in this country, a man called Boris. And he told the most amazing stories of what's happening in Russia. He told of KGB men coming and asking for personal copies of the Bible. they wanted it. Of Russian generals asking it to be distributed among their troops. Even in this country, it's happened sometimes. About 4 or 5 years ago, I contacted the CO at the barracks down at Sedbury, the first rifles. Could we give out some testaments? CO replied, I want every man in the unit and woman, 700, to have a copy, please. Can you do it? So we went down the week before they went to Afghanistan. The church parade in their big chapel, spoke to them briefly, and then we distributed these Bibles. Nobody refused. When we go around schools, give out testaments, quite often the kids refuse. None of these guys did. And it was a sad occasion in many ways too, because the chaplain said to me, we're taking out 700, we're not going to bring 700 back. And they didn't. Five paid the ultimate price. In Russia, for 70 years, the government tried to suppress Christianity. It did everything it could to wipe out any thought of God and of Jesus Christ. But then come perestroika. Things changed. God had kept alive through those dark, dark years a small remnant of people. And when freedom came, they blossomed, the doors opened, and Bibles flooded in. What is it in this book then that people really want, that they're prepared to risk so much for? The Bible speaks to man's greatest need. It declares that there is a God, a supreme God. A creator God. We're not just an accident. That there is one God, not a multitude of gods. And we can know this God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes on to give a reason for our being. To serve and praise him. It also tells us that we are separated from this God as a result of sin. Unless it's a bit people don't like. There's one word that people dislike today, it's the word sin. They'll use any other expression except that. That's the biblical word, though, sin. Now, sin is serious. It's not just missing the mark. Not just making a few mistakes, not quite getting it right. It's much more serious than that. It is a rebellion against God. A rebellion against God. Wanting to put ourselves at the center, not God. Wanting to do our own thing. As Frank Sinatra used to put it, I did it my way, rather than God's way. Sin separates from God. The Bible shows us that there is a way back from sin. In the Old Testament, we see the requirement for sacrifices. People came and they imputed their sin to the animal which was sacrificed. The New Testament shows us the ultimate sacrifice, the Son of God himself, the Lord Jesus, on a cross. God in the form of a man, dying in our place. This is amazing, if you think it through. Almost beyond belief. As Wesley put it, our God contracted to a span. Incomprehensibly made man. And again, another of his great hymns. And can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Then the promise. The promise is that if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if we believe he died in our place and rose on the third day, he will forgive our sin. They'll be taken away. We'll be born again into God's family. In short, we've become a Christian. You're not born a Christian. Nobody is. You can become a Christian. And this is the good news of the gospel. But after the promise comes the warning. Comes the warning. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We come through the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way. There is but one way to God, and only one. And that is through faith in Jesus. This is the message of the Bible. This is what people find when they open these pages and they read something like John's Gospel or Mark's Gospel. This is why people want this book. It shows the way to forgiveness. It shows the way to heaven. This book contains the good news, the gospel of salvation. It's God's book. A book like no other. And it's been used down the centuries by the Holy Spirit to save millions of men and women. And today, worldwide, if not in this country, it is in great demand. People want it. There's never a need to defend the Bible. It'll defend itself. But we do need to recommend it to our friends, our work colleagues, whoever we come into contact with. We should encourage people to read it. If you know someone who hasn't got a copy, give them one. Give them one. We started with the question, what is the Bible about? We finish with an answer to that from John's Gospel. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amen.